tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 10th of February, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I wanted to talk a little bit about Lucy Connolly. And Lucy Connolly, people will remember, was jailed for the same length of time as myself for sending out a tweet during the Southport riots, where she said she couldn't care less if the migrant hotels were burned down. And if people are going to do that, then they might as well go after the government as well. She then pled guilty to inciting racial hatred, even though there was no mention of race within that. And she was given 2.5 years sentence, a really harsh sentence, and she'd even taken the tweet down as well. And of course, I've been critical of the fact that her license conditions were extremely light compared to my license conditions, even though I was jailed for the same length of time and for the same offence. Her conditions have been extremely light touch. She's been allowed to talk at conferences. I was not even allowed to attend a conference. She's allowed a Twitter account. I was not even allowed on Amazon when I was first released from prison. But why I want to talk about this today is because she has carried out a subject access request in order to get the details on her case. And it exposes the fact that this was a political prosecution. The politicians were directly interfering with the judicial process in order to get her jailed for such a long length of time. And I'm taking this from the Daily Telegraph. And the author is Alison Pearson, who has been on the receiving end of this herself. She's been arrested herself for complaining about British policies. She says, "I was deeply suspicious about Lucy Connolly's case. Ray Connolly," that's her husband, "was almost as demonised as Lucy for insisting on Sky News, 'My wife is not a racist.' I believed him. After my own brush with police over a long deleted tweet, I began to talk to Lucy in prison and heard how she was being denied the normal leave granted even to hardcore offenders. I came to the chilling conclusion that she was effectively a political prisoner." Now, this is quite important because Patriotic Alternative have been referring to people in jail for thought crimes as political prisoners for a long time. But this is the first time that I've actually seen it acknowledged by a mainstream journalist. And this person, Alison Pearson, she's writing for the Daily Telegraph here. And she refers to Lucy Connolly as a political prisoner. "After I wrote about Lucy, her story was picked up around the world, contributing to a growing alarm that Britain, ironically led by human rights lawyer Sir Keir Starmer, was exercising censorship of our ancient free speech rights." And of course, Keir Starmer gets away with this by saying that there are two different kinds of speech. There is free speech and there is hate speech. And in Britain, we have banned hate speech, and speech which isn't banned is free speech. And that's the way that Keir Starmer looks at this. Of course, anybody else looks at this and thinks, well, free speech means speech is free. It means it doesn't have any restrictions. It means that if you think something is hate speech, you could call it hate speech, but it's still free speech. Keir Starmer doesn't look at it like that. He sees that there are two different kinds of speech. Now, of course, nobody is saying that you should be allowed to incite violence against people, which is what the law is in America. That's not free speech. That's inciting violence. That's not being free to speak about a subject. That's inciting violence against somebody. The difference over here in Britain is you are not free to speak about subjects. You are not free to use whatever words you want to use to describe what you have seen and what you have heard. You have to use government prescribed terminology in order to do that. You have to talk like the BBC, effectively. So we don't have free speech in Britain. And it is a human right to free speech, and we are supposed to be able to share information across borders without any restriction. But it also says that this can be limited for reasons of national security. And they, of course, they claim that using hate speech is a risk to national security because it could incite a riot. I mean, that's a reasonable argument to make. You don't want to be inciting riots. But is it really going to incite a riot for somebody to use an old-fashioned word to describe somebody? Somebody to use to abbreviate the word Pakistani, for instance, which was considered as quite a normal term to use just 20 years ago. Is it really going to incite riots and murder to use words like that? I don't think it does. And I think if that was the truth, then the instigators of the most riots and the most terrorism would be people in their 70s and 80s who use these words all the time, because that they are the sort of words that they grew up with, and they certainly didn't have any negative connotations when they were using them. I mean, even if you look at the supposedly worst word of the lot, the N-word, in the Dam Busters, their pet dog was called by the N-word. They wouldn't be calling their dog by a hateful word, by a word that was horrible, would they? They would be calling their dog by a friendly word. I mean, that just proves to you that N-word was not used in a negative context back then. It was just seen as a word to describe a black African. And yet today, it's seen as a negative word to use, and black people are allowed to use it, but white people are not allowed to use it. If a white person uses it, it's seen as a very severe offence. And of course, that's not the way that it is in America, because you do actually have free speech in America, but you don't have it in Britain. Much of this was surmise and not easy to prove. That's the political nature of this prosecution. Questioned about the case, the Prime Minister said he had no knowledge of it. I mean, that doesn't sound very honest to me, does it? The Prime Minister sees the day's newspapers every day. He gets to see all of this information, so I'm sure that he must have heard about it. Lord Hermer, the Attorney General, was said not to have been involved in the sentencing of Mrs. Connolly and others arrested in connection with the Southport riots. When Lucy applied to the Crown Prosecution Service for her files, they said that they didn't have them. And again, you have to ask questions in a specific way in order to get the right answers. So she needed to do a subject access request in order to get those files. I mean, the probation service probably being quite honest that they didn't actually have them. So she was asking the wrong people. Like many things Lucy was told, that wasn't true. She put in a subject access request, and this week was finally sent all the relevant documents. Some of what they contain is utterly damning, not of Lucy, but of the criminal justice system that was clearly in a hurry to punish her as harshly as possible. They wanted to make an example out of her. Lucy was charged on the night of August the 9th. By 9:45 a.m. the following day, a Saturday, when good lawyers are hard to find, the Crown Prosecution Service had got confirmation that Lord Hermer, that's the one that said that he had nothing to do with the prosecution, had signed off the prosecution. That's on a Saturday. Up early, was he? Emails said that the case had gone through as an emergency prosecution. What one senior barrister described to me as almost certainly unlawful. I mean, why was an emergency prosecution required? Lucy Connolly took the tweet down immediately, and effectively, she didn't even use any racial language. She was talking about migrants and the government and saying that she didn't care if people did burn down the hotels. That's essentially what she was saying. So if she had pled not guilty to that, then it would have been difficult for them to prove that she was guilty. But what they did, they put her on remand. So they literally kept her in jail. So she thought the only way that I'm going to be able to get out of jail is if I get this case over and done with, is if I plead guilty. But she should never have been put on remand in jail in the first place. She had already shown that she had taken the offending tweet down. So, I mean, and that was before the police had arrested her. So they had no reason to believe that she was going to then start posting similar tweets on her account. The barrister said they have to prove it is an emergency, and clearly it isn't. He said, what is it they are trying to prevent? Mrs. Connolly had already deleted her tweet. Saying it is an emergency prosecution is clearly political. And that's a misuse of the law in order to use the provision that's put in there for an emergency prosecution, something that's desperately needed really quickly. So we have that in law that we can actually do that. But there has to be certain criteria that are filled first before that can be done. And they didn't. It didn't fulfill any of that criteria. So it was a misuse of the law for political reasons. On the email, the Crown Prosecution Service continued, there is evidence of other racist tweets sent on Lucy Connolly's account, both before and after the particular tweet. This demonstrates that this was not a one-off regrettable tweet, but part of her dislike for immigrants and a desire for, and the final words of the sentence is redacted. But this is not true. No further racist tweets were found on my phone or my Twitter account, Lucy says. This is confirmed by Northamptonshire Police in a reply to a complaint I made against them. There is one charge for one tweet on the indictment. If the police or the CPS claim that there were other racist tweets, then they misled the court, says the barrister, which is very serious. And I suspect what's gone on there is they've had a little look through the tweets, and the person that's looked through the tweets is a police officer who has been through diversity training and who thinks that just genuine criticism of migration is racism, or that all they have to do is find racism and then that makes it hate speech. Of course, racism doesn't actually make something hate speech. What you say has to be abusive, insulting, or threatening on the grounds of a protected characteristic, which I don't think is what she was doing. So if they brought that up in the court, then they misled the court, or at least they misled the general attorney if he saw that. Astonishingly, district judges had been informed about, quote, these cases, that's linked to Southport presumably, and were told that they must be put in the next available slots. Who was telling them that? Surely it was the Ministry of Justice or even the Attorney General himself. Unconstitutional is what the barrister calls it. I mean, they wanted to speed this up. They just wanted to get people thrown in the dock straight away, and they wanted the judges to throw the book at them, which is clear political interference. I mean, how are you going to get a fair trial when you have no time to actually prepare for the trial and you're just thrown in the dock the next day? What about all the other people that have been waiting all this time to have their trial? When I had my trial and it had been delayed for a couple of years, 3 years, and they wanted to delay it again, I requested to delay it again so that I had my original barrister. What they said in court was this man needs his day in court. He wants to prove his innocence. You must not delay him any longer. We have to give him his day in court. So what about all those people that are on remand or that are on bail and they're waiting for their court case? And instead of them being able to have their court case, you've got the people from involved in the Southport riots and protests. You've got them in court, holding back the people that have been waiting years to actually have their day in court. So it needs to be for a very good reason that they would have this summary justice like this. And the fact that they're just talking about tweets that somebody has deleted is clearly not a good enough reason for why somebody needs to be taken to court straight away. Reasons cited for denying Lucy bail twice are obviously unlawful, the barrister says. She did not need protection, as she could be safe at home with her family. Also, there was no danger of a repeat offence, as the documents claim. Police could have taken away her phone and her computer. Again, it looks like a political decision. Now, even with my offences, with 15 charges they wanted to bring against me, originally they wanted to give me 6 to 8 years, because they said if I pled guilty, I would get a quarter off that. I pled not guilty, and they released me under investigation, and I had no bail conditions. And the things that I was saying were worse than what Lucy Connolly was saying. I mean, they were worse than what she was saying. I was using racial slurs, for instance, and the subject of my conversation was racial, whereas what she was talking about is migrants. And yet I was just released under investigation. They put her straight in prison. And they had no reason for doing that. I mean, who did she need protection from, or who needed protection from her? Perhaps they did that because they didn't want her to get her story out of what had happened to her. I'm not sure if you can do anything about unjustly being put on remand, because the issue is that because she pled guilty and she was then sentenced, that time that she was on remand would have been taken off her sentence. So the courts will just say, well, you may have unjustly been put on remand, but it meant that you were released from prison earlier than you would have been had you not been on remand, and you had a court day in a week's time or whatever. You would have had to stay in prison for another week. So the way that they look at it is it's time served. You got X amount, number of days as your sentence, and you didn't serve more than that. Okay, it was at an unfortunate time for you because you were just taken straight to prison, but you didn't actually serve any more days in prison than necessary. So I don't know that she will be able to do anything about that, that it was an unlawful remanding. The documents that record, on August 22nd, Lucy's solicitor attended her second bail hearing. The first request had been refused. So even when this was brought up, this woman should be on bail and not on remand, a week later, they refused to even hold the hearing. The hearing lasted 2 minutes, just long enough to read out Lucy's name, date of birth, and address. The decision had already been made, Lucy tells me. They clearly were not prepared to listen to any of my mitigating factors, because how could they in such a short amount of time? Either her solicitor didn't offer a defence, or he wasn't allowed to. Now, I went to a few hearings, and it was literally all just solicitors talk. It was all legal definitions. And all I had to do was stand up, say who I was, date of birth, address, and sit down again. So I don't know whether she would have been given a chance to give her defence, but they should have had her hearing the first time. They should have had a hearing. I mean, she really should have been given bail, but you don't get to give your mitigating factors until you actually have your day in court, which is before a jury. The courts were also told that charges and sentencing should reflect the seriousness with which Parliament has approached the issue of racial hostility. What has Parliament got to do with it? Isn't the judiciary supposed to be independent? They are. The judiciary have these guidelines, sentencing guidelines, and how they're supposed to deal with these things. And yet the courts were told that this needs to be dealt with very, very seriously. So again, there's a record there of political interference in the independence of the judges and the courts. As Lucy's was a first offence, she could have been fined and her case heard in a magistrate's court. But in the documents, the CPS reveals that they've been told that people involved in Southport are going to get custodial sentences of more than 12 months. judges have been told that they will have to award a certain sentence. They have a sentencing council which they claim is independent, says the barrister. Specifying what the sentence should be is definitely political interference. I think that's quite serious, that the politicians are saying, well, just ignore what the sentencing guidelines are and give them the sentence that we tell you to give them. I mean, this is quite tyrannical. We're supposed to live in a democracy, and the justice system is supposed to be independent from the political system. And what you've got here is clear collusion between the two. And this is why people were saying, well, why is it that Black Lives Matter protesters are just getting let off? And then when white people protest about white girls being killed, they all get lengthy prison sentences. Well, this is why, because the politicians interfered in the courts and told them to ignore the sentencing guidelines, and that everybody that had been arrested had to be given a minimum of 12-month sentence. And of course, the people that were arrested weren't told that, because I'm sure if they were told that, then they might have thought, well, I want to have a court date and I'm going to plead not guilty, which would have given them time to prepare their defence. But instead, I think a lot of people were like Lucy, and they just pled guilty, thinking that the sentencing guidelines is what would be used for their sentence. And instead of using the sentencing guidelines, they've just carried out this arbitrary command from the government to give everyone a minimum of 12 months in prison. The documents also reference Frank Ferguson, head of the Crown Prosecution Service's Special Crime and Counter-Terrorism Division, who said in a statement issued after Lucy pleaded guilty on September 2nd, during the police interview, Lucy Connolly stated she had strong views on immigration, told officers she did not like immigrants, and claimed that children were not safe from them. And I think he is paraphrasing there. I mean, it's fine to have strong views on immigration. That's strong views on a policy, on a government policy. That's not about race. And even saying that she doesn't like immigrants, again, that's not saying anything about race. And claiming that children were not safe from them, well, we do have lots of instances where children have been raped and young people have been murdered by illegal immigrants. It's not like these cases don't exist. Does that mean that children are not safe around immigrants? No, it means children are not safe around some immigrants. It doesn't mean that all of them are the same. But if you want to prevent all children from being harmed by any immigrant, then you have to ban immigrants from coming into the country. That's the only way that you can prevent that from happening. This was not what I said, according to Lucy. Police interviews confirm I did not say I did not like immigrants. I said I was concerned about undocumented men arriving in the UK illegally, and we don't know what they've done or where they are from. This was later corrected by the CPS to reflect what I had actually said. And this is quite similar to my case. In the pre-sentence report that was filled out, it alleged that I had said all sorts of things that I had not actually said. And what it did, it paraphrased things that I said. So when I talked about voluntary repatriation, where people would be given incentives to go back to their ancestral homelands, that was put down that I want repatriation. I want forcible repatriation. I didn't say that. I said voluntary repatriation. But the problem is, when you've got people that don't know very much about this subject, and they hear you talk about one thing, they assume that what you're talking about is what the newspaper headlines are referring to. They don't actually pay attention to the nuances. Of course, there's a big difference between voluntary repatriation and ethnic cleansing, for instance. I think that's what they put in there, ethnic cleansing. What I was talking about was voluntary repatriation. Yet they sort of conflate these two issues. So I can see that this very easily could have happened to her. What she said, the actual nuance of what she said, was not included. None of the above is particularly surprising, to be honest, although I still find it shocking. It just confirms everything we suspected, says Lucy. I'm just surprised that they were prepared to put it down in black and white. Well, they do record these things, I mean, the people, my impression of the justice system is that everybody was very professional. They did exactly what they were supposed to be doing. They recorded everything. They recorded everything in detail. I did subject access requests myself and got all this information back. I mean, the people involved in it may not even approve of what they're being used for. They may believe in free speech, but they have to do their job to the best of their ability. And all that information does get recorded. In fact, there's so much information that the justice system wants recording that it's very difficult for people like probation to actually carry out their job properly because they've got to record so much of everything, particularly the staff that are working at the hostels and things like that. So that is one good thing about it, about the British justice system, is you can request all the information that they have on you. And you can get it and you can have a look through it and you can see where all these errors are. I mean, in my case, there was lots and lots of errors that were caused by the pre-sentence report. I mean, they said that my offences were between 2019 and 2023 when they were between 2017 and 2019. Between 2017 and 2019, up until 2017, I was doing radio. 2017 to 2019, I was still doing Radio Arium. And then from 2019 onwards was Radio Albion. So what they had actually said was that all my offences took place when the radio station was Radio Albion, which is not true. There were no prosecutions for Radio Albion. It was Radio Arium that was prosecuted for. But because they got these dates wrong, it meant that when I was saying, oh, I want to go back and start podcasting for Radio Albion again, they're like, oh, but isn't that the station that you have got all these prosecutions for? I'm like, well, no, because you've got the dates wrong. So it is easy for them to make these errors. And that can be the cause of all sorts of problems in the way that they're actually looking at your case, is because there's been an error in the way that something's been notated. But you, as she's done here, you can get access to it so that you can see why these things are happening to you. With Starmer and Herma preparing to restrict trial by jury, there seems no let up in the authoritarian crackdown on so-called hate speech, very often just telling the truth, that saw Lucy Connolly cruelly and absurdly spend more than a year away from her child. The same criminal justice system, which gives insanely lenient sentences to foreign rapists, did in effect put on a show trial for a white working class mother of previously good character who called out an asylum system which poses a growing danger to women and girls. And of course, she said that they pose a threat to children. And the whole point of this is because three children had just been brutally massacred with a sword by someone who is obviously of immigrant heritage, that the mainstream media tried to tell us was a Welsh choir boy. That's the situation that was happening at this time. So she was quite right to say that they posed a threat to children. And that's what the whole protest was about. So she was quite right to say that. Well, it backfired. Lucy's case became notorious once her draconian release conditions are lifted in a year's time. Bear in mind, they're calling these conditions draconian. I wonder what they would make of my conditions. I was not even allowed to go on Amazon. Not allowed to have any internet whatsoever unless it was all being monitored on my laptop, which I got later on a few months in. I was only allowed to use my email account. I certainly wasn't allowed to go on Twitter, not even allowed to just look at Twitter, let alone go on Twitter and message people. I wasn't allowed to use Telegram. I wasn't allowed to listen to Edward Dutton. I wasn't even allowed to go on the Jolly Heretic and get a subscription to Edward Dutton. When I asked them what right-wing podcasts I could listen to, I got a written letter saying that I could listen to Alistair Campbell or Tony Blair, both of whom are left-wing political spokespeople. And they were quite shocked at that. They said, you don't think Tony Blair is left-wing, do you? And I said, Tony Blair was the leader of the Labour Party. And this is the sort of level of understanding about these issues that we're dealing with in the justice system. But as I say, I got a written letter explaining that to me. I did get everything in writing, and they do record these things. That's what I mean by the people involved are professional. It's just that what they're actually told is drafted for them by special interest groups. It's drafted for them by people like Hope Not Hate. Once Lucy's draconian release conditions are lifted in a year's time and she can travel abroad, she has an open invitation to go and speak at the White House about the way she was fitted up to act as a deterrent to others who feel inclined to criticize what Lucy rightly called treacherous government and politicians who have lost control of our borders. The Trump administration makes no secret of the fact that it regards Starmer's Britain as a free speech basket case. And in fact, Graham Linehan, the comedian, gave evidence to Congress today, so this must have been written just last week, about his arrest at Heathrow Airport by five armed officers last September for tweets he sent about the transgender debate. Of course, they were tweets that he sent in America, and he's an Irish citizen, and yet he was arrested in Britain by five armed police for things that he said in America on social media. I don't think you could really get more of a good example of how anti-free speech Britain is, because this term hate speech has expanded to include so much now. I mean, it seems as if her genuine general criticism of immigration, that was seen as hate speech, even though immigration is a government policy. It's not a term that references protected characteristics like religion or race. Should the Prime Minister still be in a job, which I very much doubt, he should brace himself to be deeply embarrassed by the formidable Mrs. Connolly. And I do wish Lucy Connolly all the best. Understand a bit of what she's been put through, because I've been put through it myself. I just think that she should be thankful for small mercies, that her licence conditions aren't anywhere near as bad as mine. And of course, I wouldn't want her licence conditions to be any worse. I just think that people should have lighter license conditions like hers. I mean, all those license conditions are supposed to do is prevent further reoffending. How can I possibly reoffend by purchasing items on Amazon? It's impossible. Now, I said to the probation, all you have to do to prevent me reoffending is to open up my website every day. And if I've posted something on there, then there's a risk that I could reoffend, isn't there? But if I'm not posting anything on there, then I can't possibly reoffend. And yet they saw fit to ban me from the entire internet, not just from posting anything on my website. So completely over the top license conditions, whereas her license conditions seem much more reasonable. She's allowed to attend conferences. She's allowed on social media. Why is it that ethno-nationalists are not given the same there? I mean, what that shows is because, I mean, I don't know this for certain, but she seems to sound like she's a civic nationalist. So they're effectively saying if you're a civic nationalist, you will get better treatment than if you are a ethno-nationalist. And of course, regardless of what nationalist you are, you should not be prosecuted for your political beliefs. But unfortunately, that is now the world we live in Britain at least. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.